The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, my beautiful friends, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Today, I want to talk about my personal money story and how I find that it is still playing out in my everyday life in ways that I could have never anticipated, and how I am consciously moving myself in a different direction to change the way that money comes into my life. This is about being a deliberate creator, as Abraham Hicks likes to say, consciously creating our life, which a lot of times means having to visit unhelpful cycles and being able to sort of understand, operate on them a little bit and see why they're there and how to shift out of them. So my hope for this episode isn't just to share my story, but it's also to give whoever is listening to this a potential opportunity to be inspired to look at any unhelpful cycle they find themselves within as well. This is an old cycle for me, and it's one that I've been working on for a while, but it just goes to show that sometimes the work, it takes time. There is a concept that I haven't talked about very much in the public platform, but if you've worked with me, then you've probably heard me talk about a concept called quantum crawling, which I have on my list of topics that I want to talk about at one point, but I've been talking about it for a while, probably for a year and a half. And with my private clients, at least, this is a topic I talk about a lot, which in simple terms, it's the process of not quantum leaping, because quantum leaping typically isn't very sustainable for most people. It's like if you were to go from one end of the spectrum all the way up to the next, it's really difficult to maintain that new energy. Most people can do it, they can get there, but they can't maintain it. And so what happens is a lot of people will end up dropping like flies after they made this incredible quantum leap, or they'll end up in this new place that where they thought all of their problems were going to be solved, right, once they got there, but they find that they just brought all of their old stuff, the old beliefs, into that new quantum leap stage. So with quantum crawling, it's more about learning how to like close the gap. And so there's no backsliding, there's no dropping like a fly, there's no, you know, stone left unturned. We want to make sure that when we get to the result that we want to get to, that it's sustainable and that we can stay there, that we're not going to end up falling back to where we were before. So this will be a really good listen if you are interested in changing your own stories and beliefs or understanding a little bit more deeply why you may be stuck in unhelpful cycles, whether money related or not. Like, relate this topic to literally anything that you find unhelpful when it comes to cycles. Okay, so if you're really enjoying the podcast, the stories, and are interested in diving deeper with me as your mentor, you can follow the Work With Me link in the description box, or just send me an email, which is always which is also in the description box as well. I currently work with one-on-one clients for 6 months to a year. I know that sounds like a long time, but I promise you, it seriously flies by, where I will guide you through the manifestation process to help you create even your trickiest of desires. This is like the manifestation at the expert level container, if you will. And the hope is that after this 6 months to a year, I will be leaving you with an inevitable skill set or an invaluable skill set after our time has completed. Don't forget to follow me or leave good reviews on your favorite podcasting platforms. It makes all the difference in the world to get my show out to more people. And follow me on Instagram if you want to see what I'm up to or where I am in the world. I will be moving locations very soon. I've been in Bali for, I can't believe I'm saying this, 1 week from now, it will be 1 year in Bali, but I leave in 1 week from today. So I will be moving along, and you can find the link to my Instagram in the description box if you want to see where I end up. Okay, so before I start, I want to caveat this episode by saying that I value my openness and sharing my story with people. That's like one of the driving forces behind my podcast, is to be able to share in openness and vulnerability, you know, not to come in here and to act like I've got it all figured out. Because the truth is, like, there's always something new that we're working on, right? Sometimes in sharing in openness, it is inevitable that I'm going to be talking about other people and the influence that they potentially had on me or at, you know, one time in my life. So with that in mind, anything that I say here about my beliefs, my past experiences, just know that they are not a reflection. They're not an entire reflection of the people I am talking about, as I am just one person with one side of the story, and that's all that this is, my story. So I'm going to be talking about my family a little bit in this episode, and that's the reason why I want to caveat this. Typically, when I talk about random people, I don't find myself getting to this place, but when it comes to my family, I just love them so deeply, and I care for them so deeply that I would never want something that I say on one of my episodes, even if it is my story, for it to sting or hurt or to seem insulting. You know, like, my family is just so wonderful, and I'm eternally grateful for them, even though we do have very different belief systems, life experiences, whatever. I genuinely wouldn't trade them for anything. And so whether my family listens to this or not, whoever's listening to this now, just please know that my family are very wonderful people. So the experiences that I will share were my own interpretation of these circumstances when I was not well trained in thought work, and anyone could have reacted or experienced something very different in my position. Case in point, my siblings. We all turned out very different and had very different interpretations of our experiences growing up under the exact same monetary circumstances. Okay, now, I'm sure you've all heard at some point in your money healing journey that everybody has a sort of money theme, a theme that comes up repetitively and is typically rooted in the way that you were raised, right? A great question to ask yourself if you're unsure about your own theme is to write out or say aloud in voice note format, like I love to do, your money story. Tell it like it's a story. Tell it how the story actually unfolded. If you were to tell like a really quick short story of like how money was used, how it was talked about, how it felt when it was talked about, all the things. And as you do this, see if you can find any theme. Another great question to ask to unlock that theme is, if money were your significant other, how would that significant other treat you, and how do you treat them? Then find overall themes. So money can have a theme and can even be personified by asking that, you know, relationship question. Okay, so this is the reason why I wanted to give a warning at the beginning of this episode, because my money theme and money personified in my experience when I visualize it is graphic. And it does not in any way represent anything I have literally experienced in real life. It is not a representation of real life, okay? It's just something that I visualized when I was thinking about my relationship with money, when I was thinking about money as a person. So, trigger warning. So when I dove into money personified for myself, I realized that money was my captor and my abuser. Money locked me in a tiny cage and only let me out when I behaved or did something that money found acceptable. But the moment I stepped out of line or did something that money found unacceptable, back in the cage I was thrown, door locked, no food for dinner. Even while in the cage, if I asked to be let out for a reason that money found unacceptable, money would poke me with like a long stick, like a pointy stick, through the holes in the cage. Like, this is just the visual that was coming to me when I was imagining money as a person. And even when I was let out of the cage for reasons that money found acceptable, I was like on a leash. You know, I wasn't allowed to go very far. So my money themes based on that personification of money would be words like trapped, restricted, constricted, withholding, conform or have nothing, or end up in the cage, you know. It's dramatic, but that's just the way it is when I visualize it. So on the surface, people who know me in real life would probably wonder, why the hell would this be your money story? Because I grew up in a very well-off family who always had more than enough. Sorry about this motorcycle driving by. I always had more than enough growing up. We always had nice things. We always had abundance. For lack of a better word, on the surface level, when you looked at me, I looked rather spoiled in a lot of ways. And typically, until I hit a certain age, I was always given money when I asked for it. So if that's the case, then where did this money story come from? So I was raised in a very traditional conservative family, in my perspective. It's an old story that a lot of us have, especially in American culture, but my interpretation, like I said, was that of being trapped because of traditional conservatism. I was expected to go to school, to get a degree, to get a good job, to go clock in, clock out, meet a guy, get married, have babies, take on the brunt of the work at home, maybe stay home with the kids, quit my job, or, you know, take 4 weeks vacation a year and be happy about it. Anything else that wasn't in that whole list of things was strange, it was irregular, it was not realistic, and it was deeply feared. Feared is a really, really great word to describe anything outside of those norms in the place surrounded by the people where I was raised. Anything that was out of the norm, that wasn't traditional, was feared. So as I grew older, I really, really started to feel suffocated. I think that it started to happen subconsciously when I was in my teens already, but I didn't understand why I felt so suffocated until maybe my mid-20s, late-20s. And even then, it didn't really make that much sense to me until probably just my late-20s, honestly. So as I grew older, I started to feel suffocated at the thought of living life the way they wanted me to. I felt trapped, and like I wanted to do so much more, see the world, meet new people, learn about those cultures and new countries, embed myself into those cultures, not just vacation and sit on a fancy resort, like get down and dirty in like new culture, education, you know? I wanted to learn new language and experience my own heritage authentically, embed myself into that culture, as my bloodline is Scottish-Italian. But outside of travel, I felt nauseous at the idea of getting married and being quote-unquote owned by a man. Even symbolically, I started thinking about how fucked up it is that it's 2023 and, or whatever year it was when I first started thinking this. It's like 2020 and 2018 and women still don't own their name, you know? Like, my last name is my dad's. My mom's last name is her dad's. None of the women in my bloodline have their own fucking name. Like, what if I want to change my last name so it's mine, so I own it, so I can break that, you know, male-owned sort of timeline for my potential children one day? How would my family feel about that? I think they'd roll their eyes, honestly. What if I want to be the breadwinner? What if I don't want a man to take care of me? What if I don't want to have kids? What if I want to create my own variation of a marriage ceremony without having to tie myself by contract to another person? What if I don't want to go to graduate school? What if I don't want to go to college at all? What if I don't want to have a traditional boss or a traditional job or even a 401k? What if I want to live by my own rules and flip the bird every time someone tells me to conform? What if conforming and traditional life makes me miserable? And what if I'm happy being free of it? I feel like I can see my family's faces like, why do you have to be so different? You're always trying to be so different. Just be like the rest of us. We're happy. And I think for a long time, my family thought that I was just a rebel Like, I wanted to do the complete opposite of whatever they told me to do out of spite or something. I think I actually had someone in my family say that to me recently. They were like, if you tell Kayla to do something, she'll do the exact opposite out of spite or to prove that she can or to prove you wrong. But, like, my behavior was never rebellion. I was just doing what I really wanted to do. It was never, like, in spite of my family. It was never in rebellion against what they wanted me to do. It was never because I was trying to prove something to anybody. It makes me think of something I heard that was really profound. Like, somebody was criticizing a woman and about the way that her appearance was. And she, like, turned around matter-of-factly and was like, I don't dress like this for you, for your approval. Like, my level of attractiveness isn't dependent on how you feel about me. And that's sort of the way that it felt, or it feels now. Like, when my family would accuse me of being rebellious, it was just like, is me wanting what I really want rebellion? Because rebellion sounds like just going against what everyone else thinks that you should do purely to spite them, not because it's what you actually want. Ooh, excuse me. Like, I genuinely think that for a long time, my family was like, ah, she'll come around one day. She's just in a rebellious and angsty phase. And honestly, I feel like some of my family still thinks this way about me today. Like, one day I'll come around to their ways. It's like that old TikTok trend, if you ever saw it, where, like, a millennial in their 30s would be, like, in their car, and they would scream, like, it was never a phase, Mom! And then they'd start blasting some pop grunk music and start, like, singing it at the top of their lungs, like, it's not a phase. Like, the things I wanted were never a phase. It was never rebellion. I was just doing the things that they didn't understand. Because it's not things that they ever desire to do or let themselves do. I don't know. A lot of times I would say the things that I wanted and I would be met with like an eye roll. So suffice it to say, I took black sheep to what I would consider like a whole new level in my family and hometown. Every ounce of conservative traditionalism, I was like, I just don't agree with this. I was born a raging liberal before I even knew what a liberal was. In my perspective, my family's living nightmare. So how does this relate to my money story? Because as of right now, this is all just like circumstantial black sheep shit, right? You know, this isn't about money. Being trapped doesn't have to be related to money. So like, how does it relate to my money story? Let's just say, just because I grew up in a wealthy household doesn't mean that I was given any of that wealth. Let's just say when I started expressing desires to do certain things that were unappreciated, frowned upon within traditional idealism, I was not granted access. And generally, I was met by fear and anger and criticism. Money was withheld, and I was forced to conform because there was nothing else that I could do. I was forced to conform to a system and a way of life that made me generally very unhappy. And this was also a time in my life when I was not allowed to work and was instead required to focus on my education. So like at this age, I was probably college age. And an education was absolutely out of the question. You could not not have an education. You could not not go to college. That wasn't an option. So you had to go to university, you had to go to school. I already sucked at school. It was hard enough getting into university, and then hard enough to maintain good grades because I didn't want to be there. So, and while we were in university, we were told that we needed to focus on school and we weren't allowed to work. And we were like, we have plenty of money, so whenever you guys need money, just ask for it and we'll give it to you. But like I said, whenever I had desires to do certain things that were frowned upon within traditional idealism, I wasn't granted access. It was only when it met traditional idealistic, you know, lifestyle type stuff. So a lot was withheld from me around that time. Yet, in my perspective, my siblings were quote unquote running free with access to money because they were asking for different, more traditional things, and I was not. I wasn't allowed to work like they weren't. I wasn't allowed to travel, which was like the absolute dream. I wanted to study abroad. I was not allowed to do that, even when I had the money, until I just bought a ticket in my mid-20s and didn't tell anyone until they couldn't force me out of it because the ticket had been bought, you know. It sort of felt like my early to mid-20s was a time when I was in a round, when I was like a round peg and everyone was trying to force me into a square hole, becoming frustrated and more overwhelmed by me when I wouldn't fit, acting like I was just doing it on purpose despite everybody, which I wasn't. It's just the way that I was. So I developed crippling anxiety by my mid-20s. I hated leaving my room. I was borderline agoraphobic for a while, not feeling comfortable leaving the house, having frequent anxiety attacks, panic attacks. I resented my entire family, and I was so horrible to some of them at this time in my life, which, I mean, we all have regrets, I'm sure, from the way that we behaved and acted towards our family and our parents at certain stages in our life. But this was a stage when I look back at it and I cringe at myself. And honestly, my thoughts basically dwelled constantly on wanting to escape everything that I was being forced into, but not knowing how to, feeling like there was literally no way. Anytime I gained access to my own money, I would use it for escapism. I would drive for hours just to see new places. I would find small lakes on my Maps app, and I would drive 3 hours to get there, hang out for an hour, then turn around and go back to the cage. I would take a long road trip by myself. The farthest I made it by myself was Montana from Indiana, and that was about 30 hours of driving solo in my early 20s, which was very not comforting to my family. But again, it was just like, I created this sort of thing where over time I started to expect reactions from them. And so I would give them no space for opposition. Like, I would wake up one day and be like, I'm leaving on a road trip today. And they'd be like, what? And be like, I'm leaving on a road trip today. I'll see you in a week, bag in hand. And then I would just like throw it in the car and fucking leave. I would get someone to take long weekend trips with me to a neighboring state near a lake. I would spend hours at the dunes in Michigan or Indiana, dreading having to go home and being reminded that I wasn't free to experience life the way I wanted to. And I assume a lot of my family thought that I was trying to run away from my past when I expressed these desires, because my past was very brutal for reasons outside of my family's control. But by my mid-20s, I was feeling pretty free from the trauma of my past. I had been the one positive that I have takeaway from university was that I got free counseling with training clinical psychologists. And so I had years worth of therapy that was totally free. And so at that stage in my mid-20s, I was just ready to step into the grown version of myself. And I've had a lot of time to contemplate this because I have wondered, like, if I hadn't experienced some of those traumas from my past, like, would I have all the desires that I do now? I don't know. Honestly, in my perspective, I think that this is the way that I would have ended up eventually one day, regardless of my past. I would have wanted these things. And I just want to say at this point that, you know, my family did the best they could. I literally don't hold any of this against them. I don't have hard feelings towards any of them. I don't blame any of them for any of the places that I end up with. Like, I don't blame them for the money stories. I don't blame them for anything. It's just that's not the place that I'm at right now. I understand that they want different things, and it can be really hard to understand why your own version of happiness isn't good enough for someone else. I empathize with that. Their version of happiness seems to work. And I think that if they've never felt dissatisfied with the level of happiness that was given to them, like, why would they think that there's another way that works? You know what I mean? Like, why would they need to contemplate that? a lot of times our brains want to make different desires that other people have wrong or blame it on trauma or rebellion or whatever, when the truth typically is, I just want it and that's what makes me happy. I don't need to know or explain it, it just does. You know, like, no straight person has to explain why they like the opposite sex. So why is the LGBTQ plus community constantly demanded to explain why they want or are interested in the same sex? I feel really similar. Like, just because I don't want to live within traditional norms, why do I need to validate that to people who want something different? Like, am I allowed to want my own version of happiness? So at a time in my life when most young adults in my community were beginning their careers and building wealth, maybe even buying homes, getting married, starting families, doing the traditional things, I was spending all of my time trying to escape. Spending every dollar I could get my hands on to do that, leaving me with very little, if not zero, overflow most of the time once all was said and done. I was stuck between my upbringing seeming to be forcing me in one direction, yet there was this almost like vacuum pull that I was experiencing towards something I couldn't even see beyond all of that. I just knew there was something different because this wasn't good. This wasn't joy. This wasn't happiness. Something that I hadn't even dreamed up or created yet had to exist that felt better than this. It felt like I was being torn in half for most of my 20s. I was just fucking pissed for most of my 20s because I hated everything about everyday life. I hated having to go to work. I hated having to go to classes. I hated having to live in a conservative state. I hated living around people who didn't seem very happy to me. And like, again, that's just my perspective. They probably are very happy, but like, when I see the things they're doing, I'm like, God, that just sounds miserable. Like, I remember one of my exes, his brother was buying a house, and his brother was a couple years younger than us. And I was just like, God, that's like my living nightmare, having like a house and being tied to a mortgage. And like, I'm not criticizing anybody for wanting those things, but that's my living nightmare. Like, being married with the white picket fence sort of life, my living nightmare, at least at this stage in my life. And I'm almost 31. And like, a lot of people feel, I think, look at people like me who aren't ready to settle down in their early 30s as like childish. I don't know if that's just my own mind creating that story, but that's what I imagine some people must think about someone like me. Like, that just seems childish. Like, you should be buying a house. You should be settling down. You shouldn't be like traveling the world and, you know, not wanting things tying you down. Like, it doesn't make me happy. So, okay. So here's where the story gets interesting, if it's not interesting already, because circa 2019 to 2020, as I began the infamous Saturn's return, I let the vacuum take me. I like completely surrender to it. But this is when the beauty of the law of attraction comes in, my amazing friends, because the action I was taking towards this new way of living was rooted in fear. And the desire that I was very much feeding into was, I do not want to feel controlled or restricted anymore. So in general law of attraction terms, the way a lot of people make manifestation mistakes is by doing something in order to feel better. You know, like taking action because you think it's going to result in a better feeling. In my case, I believe that if I did all this stuff, if I cut all these cords, then I would feel free. Then I would feel free. These are the things that are tying me down. I'm gonna just snip, 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 and I'm gonna cut myself free from all of them, and then I'll be free. That's the answer. So I had this list of things that were making me feel trapped, and I started unapologetically taking scissors to those things. Like, I just stopped caring, and I just let them all go. And you know, typical things like quitting my job, like eventually selling my car, leaving my hometown. Like, I just did all the scary things, you know. But while I was taking all of this action, my focus was, I don't want to be restricted anymore. I was still in the energy stream of control, restriction, and containment. And the universe doesn't hear, I don't want. it doesn't really hear thought at all in my perspective. It feels what you mean when you say something. It feels your vibrational output. Like, you can't lie to the universe. When I'm saying something like, you know, I don't want to be restricted anymore, I am very much aware and in the vibration of restriction, right? So even though I had cut all these ties and I was out doing the big, bad, scary thing they all told me not to do, I was doing it in the stream of keep me away from that scary, restricting stuff, which felt freeing for about 10 minutes when I was cutting the strings, right? Until I started attracting new ways to be restricted, because that was the stream of energy I was still within. That's the law of attraction, folks. Even though my family, my hometown, my belongings were no longer the things hypothetically tying me down, the new things came in. I accrued debt because I didn't have a healthy money mindset, which made it hard to make my rent payments or save money. Restriction. I signed long leases that tied me to new places when what I really wanted was to be free to leave whenever I wanted. Restricted. I entered a relationship when I really wanted to establish my independence and be single. Restricted. I signed with coaches even when I wasn't in a healthy place financially, which left me with, you guessed it, even less money. Restricted. I took jobs I didn't want because I didn't believe my own work was good enough or that I could charge what felt like freedom to me. Restricted. And even though on the surface I may have seemed more free than so many other people, and I admit that I was, you couldn't see the ways I had still been restricting myself out of their immediate viewpoint. You know what I mean? Like, just because I was explaining this to one of my clients the other day, which was actually the inspiration for this episode. One of my clients was like, I wish I could have just done all of this the way that you did it, where like you just, you know, quit your job and sold your car and just like didn't have to worry about any of those extra payments. And I was like, yeah, but like, look at the motivation behind that. The motivation is I don't want to have to pay extra bills because I don't have enough money. Like, you're taking action on don't have enough money, you know? Anyway, so, and it's interesting, like, my perspective is that a lot of people looked at me and were like, on the surface, you seem really free, Kayla. Like, what are you talking about? Which is not so strangely similar to the way most people seem to think of me in my original circumstances as well. This is the cycle. Like, before I had severed all of these strings, you know, most people assumed I had more than enough money to do whatever I wanted because I was from a wealthy family. Most people look at a wealthy family and they think wealthy family equals wealthy kids, right? I genuinely had friends in my past who would get angry with me because I wouldn't buy them things when we were out. I wouldn't order a round of drinks at the bar because they assumed my dad was giving me large heaps of money that I was hoarding and unwilling to share with them, when really I was working one day a week because that's all I was allowed to do and could barely afford to buy myself 2 drinks a night, let alone buy a round for 15 people. And when I tried to explain that to them, I was typically met with, if you don't have money right now, just ask your dad. Like, insert vomit noises. No, babe. No, I won't. So I started really seeing this money story taking life and beginning to change around the time I moved to Washington, and it really started to, like, the momentum started to build once I came to Bali about a year ago. I was like exploring these questions over the last 2 years, like my beliefs for all intents and purposes, or my life for all intents and purposes, is more free than so many other people get to experience and probably will get to experience their entire lives. So why do I still feel so restricted financially? You know, it felt like there was always just enough to get by. But most of the time, the way it was coming didn't feel very satisfying to me, which I've talked about in a pretty recent episode. And there was never overflow either. So there were a lot of things I felt completely restricted from doing outside of basic necessities, or I would overspend with the ideology that if I spend because I believe more is coming, or like I'm already free, then I'll just attract more, which is complete bullshit. And I feel like that's another massive manifestation mistake that a lot of us make in the beginning of our journey. take it from someone who made that mistake more than once. I also felt a lot of fear that it would run out inexplicably. I used to have a lot of fear when looking at my bank accounts because I had this nearly inexplicable fear that something would have happened out of my control and it would all be gone out of nowhere. Sound familiar? Like, that's kind of the way that it was. Like, if I asked for something that was deemed acceptable, the money was there. It was totally freely given. Like, here you go. And most of the time I was given more than what I'd even asked for. But if I asked for something that I wanted that wasn't rooted in traditionalism, it was withheld. All the money would just evaporate. It would go away. It would disappear. So that was like the fear that I had around my own money that manifested eventually. Like, once I was making money in a way that I desired to, I was just afraid that it was like going to evaporate into thin air. Someone was going to steal it all away from me. It was just going to be taken away from me. And the worst of all, if it all ran out inexplicably, I would be in a position where I would have to call someone, admit that that had happened, and have to ask for help. Again, insert vomit noises, no babe. And this fear wasn't rooted in an inability to ask for help, which is typically how it's been interpreted by people in the past when I share. Like, you just have to be willing to ask for help, Kayla. Like, I see no shame in asking for help. And I do it when circumstances really call for it, without any shame. No. My resistance was always rooted in a deep fear that my family was right, that what I wanted was unrealistic, and that running out of all of my money and having to ask for help would be the moments when they would be like, see, we told you, you couldn't do this. You couldn't do it. Like, you might as well just give up and come back into our comfy little den of terrors. Again, I love my family. This is not a reflection on my family at all. I love spending time with my family. I have the greatest memories of my childhood. It's just traditionalism, conservatism, living in Northwest Indiana, like, that is the house of terrors. I don't want any of that. It's my living nightmare. Oh my God, I really hope that sound didn't just get picked up. It was terrible. Okay, anyway, in hindsight now, I see that it doesn't matter, like, what my family thinks about my life choices, and that I can stay rooted in my own desires without needing their approval, regardless of what happens to me financially. But again, that restrictive feeling was still there nonetheless. I was afraid they were right and that I'd be thrown back in the cage again. Like, that was the fear. It wasn't that I was afraid to ask for help, that I was like too proud or prideful to ask someone for help. It was like this deep, gut-wrenching fear that I was gonna end up trapped again, that I was gonna get thrown back into the cage and not be able to get out. So here's one of the most important parts, because I was still in the energy stream of restriction at this point in my story. I was still in that energy stream of restriction and withholding for a couple of years, even though I was seemingly doing things that were granting me freedom from the outsider's perspective. I was fearing my bank account because I was in the energy of what I didn't want. So that's what life was showing me. Again, fear of the cage. Fear of the cage was focusing on the cage, was focusing on the feeling and the stream of restriction, even though I had freed myself from it, you know? And if you've listened to my episode on how to know you're taking inspired action, you'll know that whatever energy stream you find yourself in, whether that's negative or positive, you are going to be inspired to take action by that energy, which will then inevitably create more of it, even if you do feel a little bit of relief in the beginning. So I was being inspired to take action from a place of restriction. I was cutting all these strings because I was inspired by restriction. I was inspired thinking, like, I was fearing restriction and taking action thinking that would solve the feeling of restriction. Does that make sense? I was fearing restriction and thinking that taking action is the way to solve this problem. But the annoying truth in the world of law of attraction and manifestation that so many people, myself included, have trouble wrapping their minds around is that you can't have what you want while you're fixating on what you do not want. They are two different vibrational places. The difference is, like, how does restriction feel when you think about it versus how does freedom feel? Thinking, I don't want to feel restricted, is still the fixation on the feeling of restriction, and that's what I was doing. The solutions that I needed in order to feel free, those solutions were living in a completely different vibrational state. I had just not learned that quite yet, you know? I had to learn how to give myself that feeling of freedom without needing for anything about my circumstances to change. And typically that will start with like thought or visualization, you know, not needing to do anything to feel better, but instead shifting the way that you're thinking without needing to do anything, just to start, and then you can do things eventually. So once I could start reaching for things that felt like freedom, once I found evidence of freedom in my everyday life, once I started noticing that and taking action when I was inspired from that place, that is when things really started to change for the better. It was like, okay, when you bring a dog that suffered some abuse in their past home from the pound, right? At first, maybe they're scared to leave their cage because of all the memories they have of what happened when they left the cage before. So maybe you put some treats outside of the cage to lure them out, and they just stick their head out as far as they can, snatch the treat, then retreat back into the cage. It's a slow process, sometimes creating change, doing something different. That's kind of like the way that it is. And again, I'm not saying that I was ever abused and like literally thrown into a cage. I don't believe I was ever abused. My family was just doing the best that they knew to do, doing the things that made them happy and that created a successful life for them. They just didn't know what to do with me, and like that's not their fault. So my thoughts were the first things that I noticed. I started having random thoughts about money in totally new ways when I started fixating on the feeling of freedom and just feeling the feelings of freedom because that's what I wanted, you know, not needing to do anything to feel free and not needing to do anything to make myself feel less restricted, just focusing on freedom and finding evidence for it in my everyday life. And my thoughts naturally, as I started doing this, started to shift. Fresh perspectives started coming to me when relating to money, ways I'd never thought before and I'd never heard another person say before. I started keeping a list of all the things I wanted to forgive myself for when it came to past money mistakes, and the list was long. But as I wrote it over time, I started to feel like a lot lighter, less shameful and triggered. I started to appreciate the money that was coming in, and genuinely, as I started appreciating the money that was coming in, as small of a trickle as it was, I started seeing more flowing in response to that appreciation. I started asking for the money that was coming in different ways when clients would sign. I started having inspired ideas that I know will result in money over time, like book ideas or offers or things that feel like a really good investment opportunity. It reminds me of the original Secret, like the Secret movie, when you watch, I think his name is Jason Campbell, the creator of Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul, when he's telling his story and he's like, I have fixated on desiring a $1 million idea. And I don't remember how long exactly it took for him focusing on that, but he's like, but then one day, just like whoosh, while I was in the shower, $1 million idea. And that was like the inspired ideas I kept having. It was like these whoosh moments of like inspiration, feelings that were like, that's an inspired idea that will make me money. Like, and it feels good the way that money would be made. It doesn't feel like a restrictive way to make money. So I let even the tiniest of things be an indicator that I was moving in a new direction on the topic of money and freedom, which overarchingly, like, money is less of the thing that I'm really desiring and freedom is the thing that I'm really desiring. Like, money is the middleman, right? Like, money is the Amazon delivery person that is dropping my package off at the door. One of my favorite ways that I heard one of my favorite mentors speaking about money once was that money is like the fastest way to manifest things. Like, money is just a manifesting agent, you know? It is not the thing that we're really desiring. It's just the tool that helps us get the thing that we desire. One of my favorite indicators recently was that I felt inspired to create a new value-based rule for myself when signing new clients. I wanted it to be based in abundance. I vowed to always tell these clients the amount that I desire to be paid for my services, to never lower my prices, of course. Like, to not go in there and to be like, well, I'm gonna say like, you know, a few $100 less or a few $1,000 less because maybe they'll say no to the large price. I was like, no, I'm always, always, always going to tell them what my desired pay point is, but that I also wanted to do a financial checkup with these people before they signed to make sure they were signing from overflow. And if my price was too much and it didn't feel like they could give that much from overflow, I wouldn't shut them down and turn them away. I would ask, what feels like abundance or overflow to you right now under your current financial obligations? This was an entirely inspired thought, and it felt like one of those absolutely refreshing and like exciting, like your whole body gets the chills when you think of this thought, when the thought occurs to you, you know? I was like, that's abundance, that's prosperity. So as long as I felt aligning with the numbers that these potential clients were sharing with me, I started signing from that place rather than turning people away because they couldn't meet my price point. Because my desire was to sign clients who were coming to me with overflow, not that restrictive sort of like I'm scraping by, but I really need to work with you sort of mentality, which I had manifested more than once in the past. That didn't sit right with me. And I had also been that person myself with past mentors and coaches. I didn't like being that person and being put in that position. And so I vowed that I no longer wanted to sign clients that weren't coming from a state of overflow, even if that means my price goes down for now. I know that I'm still overcoming this story of mine when it comes to money. I am not at my desired, you know, monthly income, yearly income, but that's going to be a progressive step-by-step process. You know, this is what I'm talking about with the concept of quantum crawling. It is a step at a time. I'm not trying to go from feeling like I wasn't allowed to have any money in relation to the things that I really wanted to then being able to get to a place where I was able to have just enough to like maintain the lifestyle without having any overflow and not having any extra fun things for the most part, unless I was splurging or overspending, which then resulted in me not being in a good financial place. I can't go from that to making six figures a year. That would be so upsetting to my nervous system. And the times that I have made quantum leaps, it was so uncomfortable that I ended up like spending all the money or had to spend all of the money. Like I couldn't replicate what I had done because it was so uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So I know that I'm still overcoming this story of mine. It's step by step. And just because someone's level of abundance doesn't match what I desire right now, that doesn't mean that it has to deter me from believing I can have it. And I'm not going to create more restriction for myself and for other people by turning people away who can pay at a different price point, especially when I feel really excited to work with them. It would be very different if I was already making multiple six figures, I was booked out solid, every single person that I was signing at my desired price point. But that's not my reality right now, and that's okay. And I love working with clients. And so it's just a step-by-step process. Like I said, I see everything as sort of like as breadcrumbs, you know, it's just a little bit more, I'm following the trail. What feels a little bit more like freedom to me? Does this feel like freedom to me? Does it feel like restriction to me? Does this feel closer to freedom than I felt before? Because sometimes it's not going to feel like total overarching freedom. But again, I can't go from feeling complete restriction to complete freedom. It has to be like an implemental step by step by step. Does this feel more free than before? Maybe not all-encompassing freedom like I desire, but it feels a little bit more free, that's moving in the right direction. Does that feel good? Yeah, then that's moving in the right direction. And feeling truly free, like I said, is still so new to me on the inside that it feels odd at times to do the free thing rather than the constricting thing, because that's the natural response that my mind has always had for most of my life. Sometimes it feels natural when I'm experiencing a free feeling to have this reflex, like having a thought or moment where I'm tempted to put myself back in the cage. You know, I have to remind myself that it's not abnormal or strange or complicated or unrealistic what I want. It's normal, in fact. What I want is healthy because it makes me happy, and happy is healthy. So learning to do the freeing, fun, easy, satisfying things, yes, at times my mind is like, is this enough? Are we doing enough? Should we be pushing harder? Should we be giving up? I'm tempted to put myself back in the cage. But instead, I just let myself sink into my body in those moments and remember my desire to feel free. I notice if I'm actually feeling free in that moment or not. And if I am, I just take a deep breath and remind myself that I don't have to go back into the cage. This feeling can be normal. This feeling can be safe. This feeling can be enough. And my only job is to continue reminding myself of that until it actually becomes normal. Okay, my beautiful friends. So if you have any takeaways from this episode, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send me an email. If you have any questions about your own money stories on these topics, feel free to email me, DM me on Instagram. I love hearing from people, their feedback on the episodes. Those messages honestly make me so happy. And again, like I said in the beginning of the episode, if you're interested in exploring any of these kind of ideas and learning how to make those implemental step-by-step changes, I highly suggest finding the link in my bio or the link in my description box and filling out that questionnaire. If you're afraid about the money, just like call me anyway. We can talk about it, you know? Like, this is stuff that I'm working through as well. And I don't like turning people away because they're feeling a lack of abundance, you know? I like signing people from a place of abundance for both of us, because most of the people I understand that I might be attracting right now because of my state are also having financial strife or financial struggles, because that's the vibrational frequency that I'm at. And so if you want someone who is very actively working through those problems and who is willing to sign you from a place of abundance, like, let's enact law of attraction together. And you know, signing from a place of abundance, I believe, is better than signing from a place of not having enough and just desiring to scrape by, like so many other coaches are comfortable signing clients at, and I'm just not like that. So follow me on Instagram, like, follow, do all the things, and I will talk to you guys next week. And until next time, quiet the mind, listen within, and always follow the joy. Thank you.